Good morning. Glad to see you today. I got to be honest with you. I've been trying my best to be effusive and smiling and encouraging, but I'm quite heavy today. My heart is heavy today. When I just watch TV for 5 minutes, or hear news for 5 minutes, or walk in a store for 5 minutes, we were in a place recently, Linda and I, and one of the proprietors of the situation of where we were at. Good, sweet person. But when Linda came away, she nailed it. She said, that person, the fear, that person just needs to know Jesus. They need to, and that fear, there's a lot of fear going around right now. My heart is heavy. I have huge concerns, and I don't mean the extra $4.35 it cost yesterday to fill my car. It's where it is now. We've received word from people that have told us that the plan is to make your fill up, and this is already the plan, to make your plan to go up to between $4 and $5 as soon as they can get it there. That's going on right now. That ticks me off, but there's a lot of other things. My heart is heavy right now. You know, we live in a time right now where 317 children were kidnapped yesterday in Nigeria. 317 little children were kidnapped. And they're going to traffic them because of the perverts that are running the world right now. That's demonic. But you know what the papers covered yesterday? That Lady Gaga wanted to pay $500,000, was it? To get her dogs back. Now, I'm a dog person. I love dogs. Now, I'm sorry, but if somebody stole the cat, you just go ahead and keep it. It's all right. That's fine. We're working. But the dog, we're going to fight. We're going to be on the grass, you know? I mean, like that. But 500,000, the news is going to cover that. That's how crazy we are right now. A lady by the name of Valerie Ellis is a godly lady. She said, we're at a point right now where we're trying to erase the genders of little children. We have also erased our common sense. We have also erased our common humanity. And we've also erased our common future in the days ahead right now. You know, you got to have a mule must have kicked. You got to have a problem when your big thing right now is to degender Mr. Potato Head. I mean, that's insane. That's insane right now. And here we are in this mass of humanity with a tiny Tim wig is sitting there across from Congress telling them that she didn't see what the problem was right now of change of by surgery changing little children. And we sat and watched that foolishness. That's demonic. That's what's planned to come your way right now. That is mentally ill, number one. That's really demonic, but it's mentally ill, and you don't put that on parade and do that. That's demonic. Kids are dumb when they're little. They'd never eat well. They'd never brush their teeth. I wasn't going to get in the shower unless I had to, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying, though? And you're going to let them decide what they want to be. That is demonic. That's from hell. That is wrong. And to hear an obese reprobate on the floor of Congress, Mr. Nadler, make a statement, God's will is of no concern to this Congress. That was said on Friday. God's will is of no concern to this congressman. And this is an obese, depraved, silly man. Call me that. Tell him to call me. God's will is of no concern. That's just standing out, just daring God. What does that have to do with judges? Everything. Everything. Today we're talking about the children of Israel. And if this whole part of Judges was a song, it would be the old Motown, you got me going in circles. That's it. That's what it would be. Israel is on a carnal treadmill, if you will. What does that have to do? Because we still see it today, and I'm going to explain why it happens. Treadmills. How many of you hate treadmills? Somebody said treadmills were originally a punishment used by prisoners on a giant wheel to grind grains, hence the name treadmill. Today, treadmills are used for punishment for eating donuts. You see that right now? They were used to put prisoners on to tread the grain. treadmill. You're not going anywhere, but now you do it. The book of Judges covers a period of about 300 years. During this time, over 15 judges are in place, but it is constantly a chaotic roller coaster. I'll explain that concept in just a minute from right now. As I said last week, it opens on a high point when the book, as we did last week, but it goes downhill very quickly. They had been given a land with high hopes and high expectations, and in Judges, we see that they are idolatrous and they are disobedient. I told you last week, Judges is a book of history. Judges is a book of theology, but Judges is also a book of application to take these things. And not only taking the truths, but learning by the mistakes, as I said 2 weeks ago, and say, hey, I'm not going to do those things right now. Here's where we land on the story right here. You can trust this word historically. Say historically. You can trust this word historically, and you can also trust this word experientially. Okay? You can trust it. You can trust it not only through the history of it, because on this you get to see, and history judges it, and it can't be refuted, but also not only the experiences of them, but the experiences that we have in our lives. But we live in a world today that will take anybody's word except the word of the Lord. This is the way, walk it. We'll take any school of morality. We will kill schools. We'll close schools. We will. Little children are killing themselves right now, and they're not reporting that. This is demonic. This is evil. This is foolish. I'm ticked off about it, and I'm trying to find my voice for the right spot to make enough noise before I get arrested to get it said and to get it done well. But we'll trust anything. Kevin Sorbo is a great actor. He's done a lot of Bible movies, but Jesus really touched his life. He was Hercules on TV for a lot of years there. And Kevin Sorbo and his wife are strong, strong Christians and are making Christian movies now. And he speaks out to the point that he gets scolded all the time and he's ostracized in Hollywood. He said, but I love it when someone tells me I can't trust the Bible, and then proceeds to go and trust journals, newspapers, magazines, and fortune cookies. Kevin Sorbo said that. How many ever seen people like that? How many, they don't believe what the Word of God says, but they got a fortune cookie thing in their wallet somewhere that they've done that. They've done those things. They will trust anything. So, like Grandma said, they'd rather climb a tree and believe a lie than stand on the ground and hear the truth. And what does this have to do with Judges? Everything. Man's folly. We believe man's folly. Oh, it's science. Well, oh, okay, that's fine. But man fails. Man fails. I mean, I want to show you a picture, and this was the report of a few months before the end of 2020. And this picture is a prediction of the weather for the month of February of 21. Put the picture up. Watch this. Do you see right there in the middle? Much above average there in Texas. You tell them that right now. You tell them right now. Above average over there. Jeff said, we've been snowed in up here on that side over here. Near or slightly below average. Solo couldn't have church in Nebraska for 3 weeks because of the blizzard, and it was 2 and minus 2 and a little higher. It was minus 15. This is what the geniuses told you to do right before the year was. This is what it's going to look like, and they're going to tell me the temperature in 110 years from right now? You don't even know where the cone's coming to you until 2 days out. But they're going to disrupt. And it's all about control. It's all about submission. It's all about looking to someone else other than have people looking to God, doing those things that are right, loving God, loving their family, loving their job, loving, okay, serving. And then as they serve, it is incumbent upon them to serve those that have needs. Those who do good first to the people in the house of God, the people who have followed the word, who've been diligent. And then, I don't believe in just pitching the money out there for people who have no regard for God. God can take care of them. He can do that. But I'm supposed to take care of people of faith. And then if I have something, I do things to help. This is what the conventional wisdom said, told you how to prepare. Tell the people in Texas with the broken pipes still. Tell the people in North Louisiana. You know, there are some places I heard last night near Shreveport, North Louisiana, businesses still can't open yet because they were told, don't worry about it, it's going to be a warm time. Judges comes in three parts. First part, for the first few chapters, you see how the new generation is going to fail in their covenant walk. You're going to see then through 3 through 6, you're going to see 7 cycles, actually, of sin and salvation. And then near the end of the book, you're going to see the effect of it. Now, sin, here's a problem that we see here. Man left to his own. what does this have to do with day? Everything. Man left to his own will continue to do the same thing over and over. Man will continue. Somebody said it this way. Any sin, when repeated over time, begins to deaden the conscience. What does that have to do with Judges? Everything. What's it have to do with today? Everything. And the repetitive turning from God, you don't hear the voice anymore. You're not, that inner voice doesn't pull you. That's why a lot of modern counseling does away with some of that concept of the responsibility of the one, and they deal primarily with a concept of transferal. This is this because of this. Instead of Lord, David saying, I have sinned, Lord, be merciful to me. And it goes against what the word says. I know you can tell I got problems right now in my head. What are the problems? Four times in the scripture it says there was no king in Israel. But so why do they need judges? Because these people needed it to keep them in line. And at the same time, God was going to be teaching a lesson for me and you today. In Judges, we see the Israelites only partially obeying God. They only partially obeyed God. They drove out some enemies. They did some things, but ultimately they received the wrath of God because of their disobedience. Their obedience was only partial to God. And God, well, I did this. You didn't do what God said to do. They thought they knew what was best. They thought, and I'm going to prove that over and over because you see it over, and I'm going to read it today. It said they kept doing things that were right in their own sight. What's that have to do with today? Everything. Everything. This book isn't just a history story. It is an experience story. It is a life story. It's a roadmap. It'll protect you from trouble. It'll keep you out of the ditch. It'll keep you on the road, or as Grandma used to say, the straight and narrow. It'll keep us on the road there. It's like when you take the kids and they go bowling and they put those little things in the alleys there. They never went in the gutter. Why? Because that's what the word does. It keeps you on that both side. It keeps you there, and that is beautiful. And here we are. It's over and over and over again. You got me going in circles. The great Christian writer and an old Baptist gospel preacher for years, you've heard on radio, probably still on radio. Nobody knows he's been gone 30, 40 years. J. Vernon McGee. And he had that voice like that, you know, and he just a good, he in one of his stories about the book of Judges, he actually draws a face of a clock. And he drew a face of a clock to describe the, and it's, I think it's perfect. And he actually called it the sin cycle. And what he did, he started at the top of the clock, and he put Israel, he said, the nation is serving God. And he goes to the next, and he said, they did evil. Then it says, they forsook God. Then it said, then they followed their own pleasure or their own way. Then it says they were sold into the slavery because of the repetitive sin. And then it said they were continued to be slaves and they were servants. And then you get down to near the bottom and it says, and all of a sudden they start crying out to God. Crying out to God, the pattern over and over. He said, and then they would repent. And then God would raise up a judge, and then the judge would bring deliverance to them. And now we're back to the top of a nation serving God. And for long, they did evil, they forsook God, they followed their pleasure, get down to the bottom, they're slaves, they call out, oh God, help us. God hears them over and over and over again. Why do you think this is? I've really lived with this in my head. And I just have a simplistic answer. Because at this point in time, the law was still on a stone. The law was still written on a book. The law, the love relationship was not in their hearts as yet. And this was the thing that, if you follow this closely, where he's starting to jam them up a little bit because he wants to get to the point where they don't have to ask. They don't have to, can I do this? Let me read this on the board. Y'all count points when you're going to eat something? Can I eat this? Does this, no, this is way too many points. Well, I've eaten this now. You know, how many of you take points for a week down the road already? You've done those things and you're going to do that. That's the way the people were. They served God to, for fire insurance, you know what I mean? There wasn't a love relationship. Well, here we are in chapter 2. We went through one last week. So the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to the Israelites, I brought you out of Egypt into this land that I swore to give to your ancestors. And I said, And I said, I would never break my covenant with you. So the angel is giving the word of the Lord here. For your part. Okay, how many of you in a contract, in a covenant, there are two parties there. For your part, you are not to make any covenants with the people living in the land. Now, is this plain? Is this plain? Is this simple? But here is your direction change. Instead. I don't think it was said instead. I think it was instead. You see what I mean? Instead, you, and the you came with a point. You were to destroy their altars, but you disobeyed my command. You notice there was not a casual, passive, non-directive thing. In other words, saying, but my people. No, he said, but you. And when you get down to the point of having to get things right in our lives, it's me. Fast forward, you run through history, and I told you this, and here's Peter, he's been denying Jesus, and all of a sudden he's frightful and ashamed, and then the Holy Spirit comes up, and this sucker walks out like that mouse I told you about a few minutes ago. He walks in front of all them, he said, but you killed the Lord of glory. You, he laid it in their lap because the Holy Spirit had energized him. He said, but you disobeyed my command. And boy, this is always the question, especially when you were kids. You just didn't want to have to answer. You know what I mean? He said, so why did you do this? And if you're a kid, what's the one word answer? Because, or I don't know. We blame it on some invisible thing. Why'd you do this? So now I declare, this angel's still talking, you are no longer, and probably the better way, you will no longer be able to drive out the people living in your land. They're going to be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a constant temptation to you. Now here we are in the first part of this in the people. Why can't they learn from the history even of their forefathers and also in the experience of their forefathers? Because though it is not in their hearts yet. Carnality is the rule. Pleasures and feelings. Does that sound like 2021? Pleasures, feelings, and conveniences. They go feed those things right now. See, what we're dealing with is the concept of mixture. Now, mixture is why we're in a problem in our world today, but nothing is new. Their idea, as I said, I think I said it last week, their idea of this inclusionary gumbo was not God's recipe for their lives. This was not what God wanted them to participate. Well, this must have been a thunderous sound with the angel of the Lord. It wasn't with a choir singing. It was tough, man. The you know, you don't want an angel. Angel killed a couple thousand people one day by himself. Angels are tough, man. So it says that when the angel finished speaking to all the Israelites, the people wept loudly. They started wailing. They called the place where they were Boikum. Do you know what that means? Boikum means weeping, by the way. It means weeping. That was their place of weeping, and immediately they offered sacrifices unto the Lord. Now, this said a lot to me on a couple of levels right here that I want to point out to you right now. And it says they immediately offered sacrifice. This was mechanical. This was knee-jerk. This was an appeasement. This was a gift without heart. This was a gift without love and obedience. But however, you know what this showed me? And I looked at it, this one verse, for a long time, these two verses. Here's what I know. They still knew the difference. They knew the sound of God's voice. Okay? They knew the sounds of God's voice. Thus, removing the excuse that was bound to come, oh, we didn't know. No, you did know. Because when you heard it, something inside of you was stirred and charred. You know, I see a lot of people. I see a lot of folk that have grew up maybe even around the God things. And their life takes another path in their life. And they just go in all these directions, and they feed themselves, they feed their appetites, they feed their comforts, they feed them, but without giving God anything. But then all of a sudden you bring them in a so-called religious environment, and they automatically, they fall back into their little drill, they say their little word, they give their little air kisses, they're appeasing something they know. That's exactly like the children of Israel were. They heard this, oh, I know that's, oh, doesn't that feel good? We better give an altar, give a sacrifice right here. But if you don't remember the clock, it's ticking. The clock's going to do the same thing every time. So it proves they understood that they heard God, but it also proves that God is going to take away the prop where down the road they say, we don't know. Well, we're still dealing with the transferal from Joshua, and this kind of was giving you a sidebar history in these few verses here. After Joshua sent the people away, each of the tribes left to take possession of the land allotted. The Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. So this is really kind of telling what had been taking place here. And he also, the leaders that outlived him. So that first group of people, and it's important to prove that, to say this now, because you're going to see what happens. Immediately with Joshua, the people were serving God. And they stayed in line pretty good, even, it said, with the leaders that he had put in place even when he left. Because those, they had seen the great things that the Lord had done in Israel. Then it tells Joshua, he died, he was 110 when he died. They buried him in the land he had been allotted. Okay, now, watch this now. Remember when it said they followed Joshua and the people that came after him. Okay, here's the turn. Here's the pivot in the story right now. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Okay, this is huge in all of history. This is huge in anything right now. This is way huge. This is in the, we can see these things in the natural if you apply these things. But right here, let's just keep it in those things that are spiritual. Do you remember when we were going through those books of Moses, and you remember all the stories about Joseph and how well Joseph did and how he stepped up even when he suffered in jail and back and forth, and it was, Joseph, you're the coolest thing, but somebody gets ticked off. He's back in jail again, but he's interpreting dreams. Well, it ends up he becomes a great leader. And there's harmony, there's plenty, and things are done. And of course his brothers come back, and you know the tribes and how that whole thing. But do you remember after we read a bit of that story and time had passed, and of course you're talking about the forefathers, and they were trying to probably do away with history too. They were trying to rewrite history and do revisionist and wipe out anything about the Word of God. Like we have, is that apropos for today? Oh, I think so. And they were trying to wipe away the history of what Joseph had done and Moses had done and the children of Israel had done. But there's always a covenant remnant that's hanging on to the Word. But there's a statement, and we read it a few months ago. Well, it was last year. We read it last year. There was a point in time where it said, but then, time had been hundreds of years, many years, it said, then there was a king who did not know Joseph. He didn't know the story. He didn't know the history. Okay, we've got goofy kids trying to take rule today because they don't know what it was like when your grandma tells about those years of suffering, of depression years. They know nothing about it. Linda's grandmother was on an assembly line and worked on airplane engines and bombers and a lot of those folks and some of your grandparents and great grandparents they were collecting all the rubber they could find for the tires, and they were collecting. You need to go to the D-Day Museum, because they're going to try to burn that down pretty soon. You watch that and do it. And you say, we don't have a generation now that could stand up with people right now. And it said, remember, there was a king that did not know Joseph. That's why on the other part of the planet, in some of these Cold War things that we've gone through all these years, generations come in, they don't remember how hard that was, how oppressive, and they've heard so much foolishness in their schools and indoctrination, and a lot of it is covetousness. We did that in the commandments too. I'm rolling today on this, I tell you what. And so I'm saying to you, it said, this is what's going on. We're living in a world today that does not know suffering. We're living in a world today that doesn't know the hardship that it took to save a nation, to save a city, of what your grandma did, of what your grandpa did, of what your great-grandparents did, how they served and what they did, and how they saved freedom. I'm all about freedom. I'm all about the freedom of the Word right now. I'm all about freedom. The guy's still in jail in Canada because he won't stop preaching the Word. Oh, that's just a Bible story. No, that's apropos for 2021. A generation came and another generation that grew up that did not acknowledge the Lord. Is that going on in 2021? they did not acknowledge the Lord, nor did they remember. Why? Because probably somebody erased all the stories. Somebody erased all the stories. This is huge. Mr. Orwell wrote it in one of his writings. Who controls the present? Controls the past. He adapts it. He tells it. Have you ever seen people when you know what they've been through, but they have this revisionist mindset, and they tell stories that aren't true at all? They believe it. That happens today. Sound familiar? So in chapter 2, verse 11, don't you remember? This is the same chapter. Everybody who served under Joshua and the people after him, they did well. But time passed. This is a lot of time. This is a time passage here. Watch this. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, and they served the images of Baal. Now, verse 3 of this chapter said, because you've done this, I'm going to remove the protection from you. And verse 3 ended by saying, and you're going to serve their gods. Didn't take long, did it, kids? Sinful ways of their neighbors no longer shocked them because they were so intermingled and intermarried with them. The sinful ways didn't shock them anymore. If your ancestors could see what comes on your TV every night, they'd be all red in the face all the time. The commercials alone will do it. I'd just like to see a heterosexual couple on a commercial once, like the good old days. I just like to see that. Just show me that. They've dulled our senses so much that we're not moved, so that some obese reprobate stands in Congress and says, God's will is of no object to this Congress. Their sinful ways of their neighbors no longer shocked them. That's why they serve their gods. They abandoned the Lord. Now, abandon is a little deep here. Abandon means not only did they forsake the serving of God, but what they're actually doing here is they are forfeiting. You know what forfeiting means? It means giving up without a fight. It's not only they're forsaking God, meaning we're not going to serve God. We're going to turn our back. And in the meantime, even the things he promised, we're going to turn those over. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, their history, their covenant history. And my covenant history is more important than my natural history. The God of my ancestors, they brought out of Egypt. And they went after other gods. One translation said, they went whoring after other gods. And they worshiped the gods of people around them. And they angered God. How many of you don't want to do that? They abandoned. Again, there's that word again. That means they forsook and they forfeited. They abandoned the Lord God to serve Baal. We talked about him some while ago. This made the Lord burn with anger against Israel, and he handed them over to raiders who stole their possessions. God stepped back. He turned them over to their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist. Now remember this concept right here, that when you join partnership with that which is away from God, it may be easy at first, but after a while, senses become dull, the ear becomes dull, the anointing becomes dull, the word becomes dull, and you are powerless to respond. Think Samson. You'll meet him in about 4 or 5 weeks from right now. It's all right here. And every time Israel went out to battle, they fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he had warned them. And the people were in great distress. Okay, this is about the 10-minute mark of the clock. You got it? Remember that? This is the same chapter. What's God going to do? It said the Lord raised up judges to rescue the Israelites from their attackers. Yet, why? Because the law, it wasn't love, it was mechanics. Israel did not listen to the judges, but prostituted themselves by worshiping other gods. Remember what I read the New Testament last week? In the last days, in 2021, and even right here, they are ever learning but never getting it. Never getting the knowledge. Oh, we're acquiring. We're more enlightened than we were ever before. We don't believe those things. Well, this thing is true. It's not. I'll believe the magazine. I'll believe the fortune cookie, but I'm not going to believe that word. And how quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors, who had walked in obedience to the Lord's command. That sentence right there is like crazy, man. That is huge. Do you see that? Do you see that? That is forsaking and forfeiting. Forsaking and forfeiting God's blessing and God's protection and God's hovering over. That is ignoring it. That's a fist in God's face. But whenever the Lord raised up a judge over Israel, he was that judge and rescued the people from their enemies throughout the judge's lifetime. For the Lord took pity on his people who were burdened by oppression and suffering. I would have added in there who were repetitively burdened and oppressed. But when the judge died, here's what I put in my notes. They went nuts. That's not theological, but it's what they did. When the judge died, that's mom and dad gone on Friday night. You understand that? That's mom and dad gone. That's when you're all by your... Somebody said integrity is who you are 1,000 miles away from home alone. They went crazy when the judge died. And what happened? They went to their flesh-serving, carnal thing. What does that have to do with today? Everything. What's it have to do with people who have a fist in God's face? Everything. What's it have to do with what you read? Everything. It said, now when this happened, the people returned to their corrupt ways. David writes later on, it's like a dog that returns to his vomit. That's what this is. And not only do you go back, but it's worse. The behaving worse than those who had lived even before them. And it said they went after other gods. And notice it doesn't just say when. It said they were serving and worshiping them. Again, this is, I don't care who sees this, is what they're saying. I don't care. I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve this. At least they're nice to me. They talk nice. And they're leading them down the path. And they refuse to give up their evil practices and their stubborn ways. Theirs was a full-throated rebellion and rejection against God. A full-throated rebellion and rejection against the covenant. Why? Because at this point, the love, the obedience, and the serving of God was still in stone. It was not in their hearts. So, let me just give you some loving advice today. You don't want this said about you. Ready? So the Lord burned with anger against Israel. Your life will be a whole lot better if you don't get God ticked off at you. He said, and because these people have violated my covenant, which I've made, and this is God's way of saying over and over and over again, they have ignored my commands. I will no longer drive out the nations that Joshua left unconquered when he died. Even the good things that have been done, if we don't honor God, if we don't stay in the Word, if we don't keep growing, if we don't do maintenance on those things that try to grow, and the weeds that grow in our lives and the other things that contact, we get to a point where we lose those things. What's the old statement? If you don't use it, you what? You lose it. Oh, well, you know, we don't do that anymore. We don't believe that anymore. That's what the Bible says. Jesus told the story. The guy said, look, man, I'm leaving town. I'm giving you 10 talents. And he goes down the line of the other ones, and he comes back. Can you imagine how the news media would cover this? That when Jesus comes back and the guy that he gave the smallest amount to, what did you do with nothing? And I did something else. God said, well, give me that. And he gave it to one. Can you imagine that in the news? Can you imagine that interview, how that would go right now? This is CNN. Would go crazy. The Lord's anger burned because they violated the covenant. Oh no! And then in verse 22, he said, I did this to test Israel, to see whether or not they would follow the ways of the Lord as their ancestors did. That is why the Lord left the nations in place. He did not quickly drive them out or allow Joshua to even cover. God wanted to see, what have we done with what's in our hand? So I want to encourage you. God's given each of you something. He's given you an ability, a gift, or maybe a level of faith even, or something that he's put in your heart. What God, start at that point. Use those things. It may not be big, as Danny Bell used to write in her song, little is much until you place it in the master's hand. We're just ordinary people there. And the stories of Judges proves the word over and over, over and over. The Proverbs 14 word that says, righteousness will exalt a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And remember, repetitive sin gets easier and easier all the time. The governors stop. In the book of Judges, Christ is why Judges? Because you're seeing God in this thing. In the book of Judges, Christ is revealed not only in Judges, but this is the main theme of this, that Christ is the righteous judge. He is the one judge. He is the final judge. And he is using earthly situations to draw a picture there that if the people stayed under what this said, life was better for them. And the minute this guy was off the scene, we're going to go crazy again in food fight. It's going crazy and things are going nuts at this time. Well, I like what Jack Hayford said. When Jack Hayford's talking about, wrote in one of his commentaries, he wrote about people turning from sin and righteousness and what God does. He said, in his righteousness, the Lord punishes them for their sin. But in his love and his mercy, he delivers them in response to their penitent cry. Isn't that beautiful? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We preach that as the Lord come into my heart scripture, that we preach that, and that's true. And if you're here today and if you don't know Jesus, he who calls upon the name of the Lord and confesses him as Lord and Savior and repents, Lord, I'm sorry, and he does those things in his life, and then he follows God. He continues in the thing that the ancestors did, just like the children of Israel here. They will be saved. But also, I also believe that is part of our life. There are times where, Lord, we need saving from situations. We need saving from oppression, saving from fear, saving from sickness, saving. He who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Righteousness exalts the nation. Jack Hayford said it great. Aren't you glad that he still hears your cry? And I believe right now some of the people that are on TV acting the stupidest, I got to believe it. I'd probably get to them last in the list, but I got to believe it. They just bent their knee and called on the name of Jesus, they'd be saved. They would change. You see kings throughout the scripture. Maybe we'll get into a few of them in a few months. Just evil dudes. Wretched people. Wretched people. Killing God's people. But a man walked in and gave the word, and they called on Jesus, and their lives were spared. I believe that as much as I believe the rest of it. Some of you just want to leave it in the judgment part, but I believe that if you call upon him, you will be saved. That's what the word says. Psalm 75 calls God, it says, God is the judge. 2 Timothy 4 refers to him as the Lord is our righteous judge. This is a theme. In the Acts chapter 7, it says, he will, this is when he comes back, he will judge the world in righteousness. Remember righteousness, exalting a nation? Remember walking in righteousness? The bottom line is this. This book emphasizes humanity's need, carnal man would be a better statement, need for a God, to follow God. He needs direction because on his own he ends up in the ditch. He needs a divine deliverer. I need a divine deliverer. But the problem in the story of this clock, and the clock did it about 7 or 8 times as you read the book, and it's the same. That's the other thing that cracks me up. Can't you learn from these things? How dumb are you? Dumber than we thought. But that's the way human man is. But Israel, God, we love you right now. So he said, all right, okay, I love you. All right, it's okay. And he brings a judge and goes, but Israel's serial infidelity grieved God over and over. So in a brand new chapter arrives and said, these are the nations that the Lord left into the land to test those Israelites who had not experienced the war of Canaan. He did this to teach them warfare. To teach them warfare to the generations who had no experience in a battle. That's another thing right now. We've lived in such opulence and lack of stress in our lives that even the Christians in America especially are slow, flabby, and dumb. And what happens is they've not thought inward. You know, back in the 60s and the 70s, we were singing all the we were armored up. God's God and army. We were armies, man. We wore the armor and we'd put on the armor of God every day and we'd have those messages. Yes, we put that armor on, that helmet, we put that breastplate, we've got that sword, but notice there's nothing in back. Why? Because we're not supposed to go backwards. We're supposed to go forward there, and we tell all, and we were warriors. Don't mess with us. We are warriors. We're tough. But time passes, and the shoe gets a little bit looser, and it's not pinching us anymore, and life is not pinching, and we're comfortable, and we have convenience now, and we can make up things and make up our own gods. Jump to verse 4. These people were left, he names some rulers and five Philistines, to see whether they would obey the command of the Lord had given through Moses. The people of Israel lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and they didn't take them out. What did they do? They married. They intermingled. This may sound kind of hard and fast. It may seem old-fashioned to some folks, but mixture is the enemy of covenant. Mixture is the enemy of covenant. And when we take other things, that this is where we are. The Israelite sons married their daughters. The Israelite daughters were given in marriage to their sons. And the Israelites, not only that, served their gods. Oh, we'll convert them. We're going to convert them. James 4 says it this way, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, that seems kind of harsh, and I've seen people read that scripture there, and they use it as an occasion to be mean or weird. You know what I mean? And there you will. No. We walk in this world. We meet folks. We speak. We love. We work. We labor. We do good. But what we keep ourselves in a way that where there's always a protection that's inside of us. We're protecting, and it's not selfish. It's protecting us as unto God. We are as vessels unto God. So back in verse 7, we meet the first judge. The Israelites did evil in God's sight. They forgot about God. Here's the clock again. The Lord their God, they served the images of Baal at the Azariah poles. Talk about that later on. The Lord burned with anger against Israel. You see that over and over. And he turned them over to the king, King Cushion. By the way, King Cushion's name was translated to this, doubly wicked. This dude, doubly wicked. He just wasn't bad. He was double bad. It must have been bad. Doubly wicked. And he was proud of it. You know what I mean? And the Israelites served the Cushion for 8 years, which leads us to this. Idolatry and mixture will lead to slavery. You see it in things we take in our body, things we take in our eyes, things we fellowship. It leads to slavery. But this up and down thing, when the people start crying out to God, Charles Spurgeon said it probably best this way, this wanting to back and forth with God. He said, God never allows his people to sin successfully. How many of you know God and love God and you got way out over the fence a few times? And the unrest that came as a result of that? Adam and Eve, the same thing. He's going to let the crazy people go off their way, but he'll never let his people sin successfully. And that's what happened to the children of Israel. They couldn't sin successfully. They couldn't stay in it long enough there. So we pick up in verse 9. Don't you know God's boy, when you read now and you read the quality, when they said the personalities of God, that he is long suffering. No fooling. I mean, you're seeing this here. But when the people of Israel cried out, here's another thing I noticed, and I wrote this in my margin. They cried to God, but notice you never see them repenting. And a lot of people want magic that God can do, but they don't want to turn, repent, and change. And you will see, and you'll see a lot of things there when you, they're going to pray the prayer. They'll do the whole bit. You heard the little Baptist boy got home. They prayed after dinner, and he did that. And he said, we're Baptists. We don't do that. He said, yeah, but they might be right. You know, I mean, I never know. No, they took all these things on. Leads to slavery. They didn't repent. They just called on God. But God, who is loving, forbearing, wishes no one would perish. How did God get a bad reputation? How did God get the reputation that he sat on a throne with a big Louisville slugger in his hand and beating people over that? Where did that come from? You only see God's wrath turning on when people turn against his covenant kids. He raised up a rescuer to save them. His name was Othniel. He was the son. You talk about covenant tradition. He was the son of Caleb. Remember Joshua's running buddy? He And he had a brother. His name was Kenaz. He was his son. The boy was Caleb's nephew. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he became Israel's judge, the first one. And he went to war against King Cushi. And remember Double Bad? Bad, he really was. And the Lord gave Othniel victory over him. And after victory, I love this statement. So there was peace in the land for 40 years. And then it says, then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, he died. Clock starts ticking, doesn't it? This is where we stop today. Next week, we come together. And something unusual. This, you Christians, it oppresses women. Girls rule next week. When we meet Deborah, she's sitting under a tree. She's like, she's got presence. She's sitting under, I don't mean under some bed. She was sitting, and she had attendants and probably fans and water and everything else. And they would all come to her for the word there. And girls rule. And this one guy you're going to meet next week, he's a hot shot. And they're chasing this bad dude. And she said, okay, I'll go with you. I'll help you out. He wanted this girl to go with him. But God in his humor doesn't even give him the victory. Wait till you see what happens. It's a blast. It's better than any TV movie you could ever see right now. Because here we are in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all these judges. And girls are going to rule next week. And I got to tell you, we can't make it if the girls weren't ruling. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you today for your goodness. We thank you for your blessing. It is the day the Lord hath made. Father, let us learn from the mistakes of what not to do. Let us run toward you. Each one of us that are here today, there are great responsibilities. And Father, right now, let us walk out with a joy in our heart that we know what the word says. Father, we know where this thing's going if we love you and serve you. Father, let us continue to be faithful prayer warriors. Let us continue to walk in faith and not in fear with culture all around us going down. Let us be the purveyors of covenant teaching, covenant speaking. I don't know about you, but as Joshua said, as me and my house, we will continue to serve God right now. I pray blessing upon each one right now. Those who are discouraged today, I pray these few moments this morning has built their faith, that they're encouraged with the word says, that they don't feel alone, that this thing that we're serving, this is not just something for people about to die on their last leg or someone who can't do anything else in their life. It is for every one of us walking in business, walking in life, young, old, of all types and kinds right now, of all walks of life right now. We are children of God. We are infiltrators of the covenant message. Speak blessing upon them right now. Today, right hands up. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord grant you peace in your coming and going right now. I speak blessing to each one of you. Find somebody that wants to be encouraged with the word. We're going to be right on it next week. We're going to jump on it. It's going to be good. Come on, girls. Cheer me on, will you? Next week. See you. Bye.